Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Psalms devotional time. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It's Wednesday morning, November 11th, 2020. This is Veterans Day today, so if you know a veteran, be sure to thank them for their service today. And remember those who have served and sacrificed. This is also Wednesday, and we are at Psalm 115, which is one of my favorite psalms. There you go. You heard me say it again. This is a really good one, and it's got a great opening line that recalls for me a great scene, one of my favorite scenes from one of my favorite movies. So back in the 90s, some of you might say way back in the 1990s, in the previous century, right? Kenneth Branagh sort of broke into the film world by making film adaptations of some of Shakespeare's plays. And one of the best that he made was Henry V. And Henry V is a great war movie. And at the very end, they win this great battle against overwhelming odds. And there's heard singing, Non nobis domine, non nobis domine, sed nomine tuo de gloriam, which is the Latin of the opening line of Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, O Lord, but to your name be glory. And it's beautiful musically. I posted it on Facebook. You can just look it up on YouTube. But I always think of that movie scene and that beautiful piece of music when I read the opening line of Psalm 115, but it's a really powerful statement as well. So, with all of that, let's pray, and then we'll jump into Psalm 115 together, shall we? Father, thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for waking us up and giving us another day of life. Thank you for the rain that we're getting here in Maryland. And it is your good pleasure to send the rain to water the earth that it might bring forth life. And so we thank you for it. We thank you for our time together this morning, and we pray that the rain of your word and your spirit would water and refresh our souls, that we might bring forth life spiritually for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Psalm 115. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak, eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, noses but do not smell. They have hands but do not feel, feet but do not walk, and they do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down to silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah is the final word of this psalm. What a beautiful and powerful psalm. And it really is a confrontation of cultural idolatry. Got my name here, so I don't forget who I am. So two things show up even in these opening three verses about the difference between our God, the Lord, the one true God, and the idols of the nations, right? Two key things show up. One is that we don't have statues of our God. So the second line, why should the nations say, where is their God? This is a reference to the fact that, you know, if you went into the temple in Jerusalem, you would not see a statue of Yahweh. And that was different from every other temple in the ancient world. Every other temple, a temple to Baal, a temple to Asherah, a temple to Dagon, a temple to Ra, a temple to whoever, would have a statue of that God at the centerpiece, right? But you go into the temple in Jerusalem, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Our God cannot be reduced to an image. Making an image of God reduces God. Our God is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases, so the glory goes to him. And this is the second big difference. So the first big difference is he can't be reduced to an image, and the second big difference is he does all that he pleases, and thus to his name alone be the glory. All the gods of the ancient world were manipulable. You could manipulate them by offering the right sacrifices in the right way to get them to do what you please. And then your tribe, your people, your nation would get the glory because you had this God on your side, right? Our God doesn't work that way. He's the one true God. He's in the heavens. He does all that he pleases, and to his name belong the glory. So if he chooses to bring us to be on his side, that's something he's chosen to do, right? We don't pull him down from heaven to make an image of him, and we don't pull him down from heaven to bind him and force him to do our will. And these are ways that people falsely worship God today. They make images of God, and they think they can manipulate God by having the right prayer or the right language, the right positive confession of faith, the right claim on God. This is not the one true God. The Lord, the God who's in the heavens, the God who does all that he pleases, cannot be reduced to an image, cannot be manipulated by God. And why is it that God gets all the glory? Can't skip this, of course. Why is it that God gets all the glory? Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory for the sake of your steadfast love, chesed, and your faithfulness. For the sake of your chesed and your faithfulness. God's committed, covenant loyal love for his people and his faithfulness to his promises. So even as he's doing all that he pleases, he's not evil. He's not capricious. He's not unreliable. He will be steadfast in his love toward his people, and he will be faithful to keep all his promises. Here's the contrast to the idols of the world. They're useless. They always disappoint, right? Our God is steadfast in his love and his faithfulness, never fails. He does all that he pleases. The idols of the world do nothing. They don't keep their promises. They lure people in. They cost. But ultimately, they are powerless. Not only are they powerless, but oh, look at verse 8. We need to hear this because there are still idols of our age. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. The world has no shortage of idols for us to worship. Celebrity culture, politics and political power, career, money, fame, good looks, whatever the world holds out to us to worship, the American dream, all of it is not only empty and powerless, but it ends up conforming us into its image. You become like what you worship. You become like what you worship. That's what verse 8 says. So, if you worship political power. And the political discourse of our age is ugly, divisive, mean-spirited, selfish, has no concern for what is absolutely true, only has concern for what is useful to advance the cause, the agenda. You're going to become like that. You're going to be sucked right in and become like that. If you chase after the American dream, which is all about career and advancement and money and achievement, you're going to become like that. You're going to be shaped by that. You're going to become one who is career-driven and money-driven and achievement-driven, right? And if you give into the idol of selfish pleasure, you're going to become shaped by that idea that all you're living for is how you can please yourself. So idolatry is not just useless, not just failing to keep its promises, but also distorts and corrupts the one who gives their heart to it, the one who worships it. We become like them. We become ugly and divisive. We become materialistic and greedy. We become self-indulgent, selfish. When we give ourselves to idols, we must not give ourselves to idols. But that's not where it ends. It ends with this positive call, O Israel, trust in the Lord. How many times you've got to say, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord, trust in the Lord. He will bless those who fear the Lord. So three times, trust in the Lord. And why? Because he's our help and shield. Some people are very, very upset about what's happening in America right now. Some people are very, very upset about what's happening around the world right now with COVID-19. And these are real things. I'm not trying to make light of them. I'm not trying to be dismissive of them. I want to affirm that the division and the animosity and the uncertainty and even the corruption that exists in our country is real. And certainly COVID-19 is real. But God is our help and shield. God's not just our help and shield against imaginary things. God's our help and shield against very real enemies, very real dangers, very real threats. And he is a reliable one. And we are to trust him, trust him, trust him. What are we to do? Trust him, trust him, trust him. Three times we're told. Because he has remembered us, and he will bless us, he will bless us, he will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord. Not those who give their hearts to idols, but those who fear the Lord. Not those who tremble at the things the world says to tremble at, but those who tremble in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Not those who bow down before the altars of Baal that our culture has set up, but those who bow down before the Lord God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. He has remembered us. He will bless us. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both the small and the great. You are never helpless if God is on your side. You are never helpless if the Lord remembers you. So trust him. Trust him. And the Lord will bless you. May the Lord give you increase, you and your children. Now, that can mean, you know, physical prosperity. But I do believe that as we translate the Psalms to a New Testament context, a New Covenant context, what the Lord is committed to doing, if we go back to what we actually trust in, which is his steadfast love and faithfulness, so his faithfulness to his promises, his covenant love to his people, what the Lord has actually promised to do, the people he has actually promised to bless, are those who are in his church, in his household of faith, those who are his by covenant. And so I believe this is a blessing for God to protect and provide for his church. And so I think we can trust him to keep his covenant promises to his church and to bless and keep, protect, and provide for his church. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the children of man. So we do have a stewardship responsibility. We have been given a trust. And for us as the church, that has to be our primary identity, by the way. What you worship determines who you're going to be. It also determines your identity. When you say we, right, when you say us, when you say our, right, those collective first person plural pronouns, get the English teacher out on you. When you say we, when you say us, when you say our, what do you mean by that? Are you referring to an earthly nation, Americans? Are you referring to a political party? Are you referring to a sports team? Are you referring to an occupation? The heart of your we identity should be the people of God. It should be the people of God. And so what we've been given as a stewardship trust as the people of God is to plant churches, proclaim the gospel, do missions, do evangelism, worship God rightly, disciple his people, right? Worship, discipleship, evangelism, missions. This is the call that we've been given as a church, as Christ's church. And so we have that responsibility here on earth. God will bless that work. God will make it increase. God will bless it as we trust him and as we fear him. Not as we give our hearts to idols, but as we trust him and as we fear him, he will bless that work for the sake of his name. Now, the last part of Psalm 115 ends with something confusing. What does he mean by the dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence? I believe what he means is on this earth, right? On this earth, the dead don't continue to do the work of God in advancing his kingdom. They don't continue to steward the kingdom of God in this world. They've moved on, right? And so the picture of death in the Psalms is very incomplete because it's, of course, before the resurrection of Jesus. So there's not the absolute certainty of resurrection hope that is seen clearly throughout the Psalms like it is in the New Testament. But it is there. You can go to places like Psalm 16 and other places where you can see resurrection hope. You can see deliverance from the grave. But this is from the perspective of life on earth. So life on earth and the kingdom conflict of God's kingdom against the kingdom of idols, those who are dead, they're no longer part of that. They're no longer part of the church militant, the ones who are advancing the cause of the kingdom of God through gospel proclamation and missions and faithful worship and discipleship. They're no longer part of that. They've moved on. Now they're with the Lord, right? But we will bless the Lord. We who are left here on this earth, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. So praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, you are worthy of all of our worship, for you are the one true and living God. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name belongs all the glory because of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. You never fail to love your people and to keep your promises. There are so many idols in this world that are constantly calling for our attention and our devotion, and they would suck us into their world and they would corrupt our hearts. But Father, let us trust in you. Father, let us trust in you and turn our backs on the idols of the world and not get drawn in to their corruption. For you alone are worthy of our worship, our trust, our fear, our hope, our praise. Let us praise you with our whole hearts today and always. Father, be with your church in these trying times. Purify and strengthen her and bless her and grow her to the glory of your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I hope to see you back here on Friday morning for Psalm 116. Have a blessed day in the Lord.